Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, set a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our hobby and passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, and anything else that might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today. It is, of course, Valentine's Day, and that just reminds me to go ahead and bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, the one, the only, the poultry Valentine herself, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper. Yes, happy Valentine's Day. This is the heartfelt day we all love. How are you doing today?
I'm just wonderful, fabulous, wonderful, awesome, sweeter than snuff, half as dusty, finer than frog hair, split four ways, just dandy as can be. Thank you very much. Hope you're doing well, too.
I am. Did you give Jen a nice big Valentine of some sort?
She has a beautiful bouquet of flowers that should be arriving in her classroom any moment now, of course. And, of course... Every day is Valentine's Day around the Schneider homestead. But on this day, we do have I do have some flowers being sent over to her, and more than likely a special dinner in mind. Of course, she's had the sniffly sneezies for the last about 4 or 5 days, really. So she missed a couple of days of school and has just been miserable. But today she's tackling the day yet. Shouldn't be much of an issue for her today. She's on the road to recovery. But I think today she'll be just fine. She needed to get in. They've got Valentine's centers in her classroom, so she needed to prepare for that and a lot of other things to do as well. So yes, we do have a few things planned for today, and we hope all of our listeners have an absolutely wonderful Valentine. I know I can speak for myself and Pat that we love all of our wonderful Valentine listeners, whether you listen live or you listen to the archive at your leisure. So we want to thank you very much for listening to the show, and we want to thank all of our sponsors for supporting the show. So what did you do this weekend, Pat?
Oh, yes. And I just wanted to add on that, well, Valentine's Day, I went out this morning and I let my flock out early. And it's like I am in love with these chickens. They came pouring out of the coop. I mean, with their it's a new day clucking sounds and flapping and just feeling life. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm so lucky to be able to have these chickens here. And so I gave them some extra organic scratch just to kind of lighten their day as my thank you for all their wonderful eggs they give me and certainly the entertainment they give me. So for Valentine's Day, folks, don't forget your chickens. They, too, deserve love.
They do. You can give them a special treat as well, and make sure you go out and check them for mites and lice and check for any kind of trauma. Check their feet for any pricklies that may be down there. We don't want them to get anything that they shouldn't be getting, so bumblefoot or anything like that. So, yes, go and handle your chickens today and check them over real well and give them a big kiss for Pat.
Yeah, really. I confess, I do kiss my chickens. I know someone just roll over when I say that, but so, they're just so uh, they're so fuzzy and furry and clean and cuddly, so that's okay. I kiss my dogs, too. Anyway, guess what we did Friday? I think I told you, we went and made maple syrup. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't make it. We collected the sap. And it was absolutely an amazing opportunity. Remember, we had Karen Panabaker on. She's our homesteader. She and Elizabeth Souter. And so they have about, on their little homestead, they've got about 20 really old sugar maples that must have been planted there back during the Civil War days. So they've got this maple grove. And what was nice is it was a sunny day, Whisper, and we could look down underneath the trees, and when with the sunlight coming through, you could see the sap dropping. It was like the trees were just dripping all this sweet syrup down. I didn't expect to see that. And as soon as we put that tap in, you just drilled a little hole, an inch and a half, and put the little spigot in, and then put the bucket on. It just started flowing. It was a constant drip, 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 drip. I was amazed at how much. Within probably half an hour, there was an inch of sap in the bucket. So that was a wonderful experience. And I got to tell people, too, the idea of getting kitty litter buckets from kitty litter from the Humane Society, they're perfect for collecting maple syrup. Just wash them out clean. But they're the 5-gallon buckets. They got a handle. They fit nicely right on the syrup. So it keeps them out of the landfill and puts them to good use. So if you have maple trees, that's one way to get the bucket for it. What did you do over the weekend?
That's a loaded question. Let me think exactly. Well, I took care of my lovely wife because she was feeling under the weather. So taking care of her, you know, and making sure she was comfortable, getting her the meals that she wanted and whatnot, did take care of that. And I got, believe it or not, I just got the urge to pack. So I went up to Uncle Bob's storage and got a bunch of boxes and a bunch of bubble wrap and a bunch of peanuts and all that kind of stuff. And boy, I went at it. And boy, I packed a lot over the weekend and got a lot done. And made a lot of progress, which was great. And so I got that mostly over the weekend. I did that. It was probably one of our last weekends at home for the next, golly, I don't know, three or maybe month, actually. So we wanted to get some things tidied up here and get some things going on our big move out to the country. So to our new homestead. So that was primarily it. Again, taking care of Jen. And got a lot of packing done and things around the house. But it was very, 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 very productive. So that's what we did. We got a great show lined up for everybody this week. We really, really do. I must say, Pat, I didn't get any update via email about what's going on today. So I'll let you tell us kind of who and what our guest is today and then tomorrow. And then we can carry on for the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, today we're having Don Shriver is coming on, and Don is one of these guys that just loves to talk about poultry. He's been he probably has more experience about selecting poultry for production and breeding for how form follows function in the breeding stock. He studied with Frank Reese, and he was one of the key people with the Buckeye Recovery Project. It was Don's incubator that hatched out the hundreds, and he and the group, along with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy and Jeanette Berenger, selected the stock. So he's going to tell us their methodology of how they did that and just what kind of an experience it was. And, of course, we're starting to see a lot of recovery programs from these critically endangered breeds of poultry and other livestock, but we're just going to focus on poultry here today. So we're going to be talking about the Java Recovery Project. It's just getting started. It's just in its second year. So that's what we got coming today is Don Shriver, sort of a poultry expert.
Very good. Awesome. Looking forward to that as well as tomorrow with the ALBC and Jeanette Berenger. Wednesday, I think right now my schedule looks open, but then Thursday we have Poultry Today with Dr. McCray, and then another awesome fun Friday. We'll be giving away some great prizes this Friday, and we got a special Saturday show this coming Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live from the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Association Poultry Show there in Noonan, Georgia. Jen and I will be heading down Friday evening and checking everything out. They have a great meal there Friday night for all the exhibitors and guests and their family and whatnot. So it's going to be a fun time Friday night and Saturday as well. So mark your calendars this Saturday, 10 a.m. This Saturday, 10 a.m., we'll be broadcasting live, again, in live HD video as well. We hope that everything will be, I got a special note here. And we're hoping that this Saturday you'll be able to tune in because, again, we've upgraded a lot of our equipment and we're getting on the road here a lot more and we wanted to bring you things live in HD video that you may not normally be able to attend. So if you can't attend the show, that's okay. Tune in this Saturday at 10 a.m. and it'll be like you're attending the show because we're going to be interviewing some judges and some breeders and we'll try to get you over to where the sale tent is and over to the youth tent. Well, hopefully we can show you kind of from a distance some judging that's going on in the whole nine yards. So it'll be just like watching Chicken TV and CNN, the Chicken News Network, will be coming at you this Saturday, the 19th, from the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Show in Noonan. And then, of course, Wednesday, it looks like we've got Jim Atkins talking all about poultry and sustainable farming and homestead marketing. So that's going to be very great on Wednesday. Thank you very much for that that quick note, Pat, and we appreciate that. So we got a full week for you lined up this week. Lots of information. I think what people need to do, Pat, is just go out to the dollar store, go up here to the discount store, and get a spiral notebook, and then just keep it right next to your computer, and then every day on this show, because we learn so much from the experts that are out there. Just open up that spiral notebook, date it for the day's date, and then start taking notes from the special guests that we have, where we can all learn from them. I think that's maybe we ought to kind of incorporate that into our show introduction. Say, go ahead and get that spiral notebook out, ready, folks, because out and ready, because we've got the experts coming on to tell you and teach you all about. They're about poultry and sustainable living and lifestyle and the whole nine yards. So maybe
yeah.
we can.
You know, it's interesting you said that because that's exactly what I've got. It's not a spiral, but it's a bound mm-hmm. notebook. And I am amazed how often I look back at my notes. I didn't expect that. But just little vignettes here and there, little certain little news bits that come across and date them. And it's been quite a handy little index and reference. So that's a good suggestion to listeners.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's time to move on now to chickens in the news. So let's kind of cover some of our traditional chickens in the news, and we have some other announcements that we'll make. One very, 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 very special announcement, probably one of the most special announcements we've ever made on this, and you're going to hear it here first. We haven't even started making the announcement anywhere out there in America yet, but you're going to hear it first today, and I have a special guest coming on to help me make that announcement. So that'll be a little bit later. Let me scroll way down because we did have a good bit of chickens in the news that we were covering and that we covered over the weekend. And it's all posted on our Facebook page. And just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. That's www.facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Now, Pat, we reported on this earlier, maybe about a year ago, to be honest with you. When I saw it, I kind of figured what they were leaning towards. But, and I say that with all seriousness, and you'll see why in a moment. I say, but there is a new article about this that just came over the weekend about what's going on over in the UK. There is a new product out called Brand New Booty. Yep, it's a new product called Brand New Booty. Now, you may be asking why that has anything to do with backyard poultry. Well, these are pills for fattening chicken, but thousands of British women are so desperate for a bigger bottom, they are risking their lives by taking pills designed to fatten up chickens. I'm not kidding you. Of course, this comes to us from The Sun, which occasionally covers things that are kind of elaborated on a little bit and kind of, you know. But nonetheless, we heard about this about a year ago. We reported it. And here we go again over in the UK. Thousands of British women are so desperate for a bigger bottom, they are risking their lives by taking pills designed to fatten up chickens. The poultry tablets are packed with hormones that have been linked to breast cancer and liver problems in humans. Originally, they were used by farmers to bulk up chickens, but it was discovered that when taken by women, they enhanced the size of thighs, hips, and their bottom. Now, scores of online sites are also offering herbal versions of the tablets with names like Star Curves, Big Beautiful Butt Formula, and Brand New Booty Pills. They are featured on sites including Amazon, eBay, and Facebook, and are also advertised on reality TV star Kim Kardashian's blog. Makers of the herbal pills claim the capsules only contain exotic plant extracts, which mimic the effect of fat-building hormones. But medical experts have warned many of the pills are unregulated, and those who take them cannot be sure what they contained. The trend for taking tablets began in Jamaica in the 1990s. The island's government subsequently banned them, but many stores still sell them illegally. So so these drugs that are actually out there for getting our chickens all plump and juicy, now women are taking them for that. So and some of the comments we had, I'll talk about this. Some of the comments we had on our Facebook page regarding this were very, very interesting. A lot came from the ladies out there, and so, some were, for example, haven't they heard of McDonald's? and our ice cream. And then and then Jenny was like, seriously, I have 110 recipes for a bigger butt. Most involve gravy. Sue says, heck, I'll give them mine for free. And then it says, maybe they could sell these pills in Walmart right next to the thong underwear and the nausea medication.
Yes, the people of Walmart.
Yep. Sandy says, if they want a bigger butt, maybe they should come to America. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, well, Joy says, for those of us who are padunkadunk deficient, this holds new hope. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Very clever.
So, yeah, lots of great comments regarding this post, but I wanted to share it with you again, even though we've worked on it before. So yeah, maybe you can not partake in these pills and just add a little bit of extra gravy to your daily regime, and that'll get you the bigger bum and the bigger hips that you're looking for. So let's see, what else do we have here? Let's just kind of go in order here. This is a little different take on some of the stories we've reported to all of our listeners in the past that become more and more prevalent, and they occur more and more, and we report them to you. You'll hear me say, another example of an irresponsible dog owner, because many a times we post throughout the year stories where a chicken owner has shot and killed neighbors' dogs for killing his chickens coming onto his property and whatnot. And so we cover those for you a lot, but this one has a little bit different twist to it. Man gets fined for hanging his dogs. So a man gets a fine for hanging his dogs for killing his chickens. A George man has been found guilty of animal cruelty after he hanged his two dogs in the bush. This gentleman, 60 years old, of Zone 9, was arrested last week after a neighbor contacted police, said Captain Malcolm. His defense was that the dogs ate his chickens. He was fined R1-500 for 3 months and had 3 months imprisonment on Monday. The George SPCA said a witness saw him dragging his two dogs into the bush on ropes. He went to investigate and found the dogs hanging from two trees, said the SPCA senior inspector. Both were already dead. It was a shocking scene. She said animal cruelty and neglect had become a serious problem in the area. The sentence imposed on the man is just ridiculous. His excuse for killing his two dogs because they killed his chickens is unacceptable. The punishment just does not serve the crime. She said the man claimed he was not aware that it was a crime to kill his own dogs. Manager of the Garden Route SPCA also lashed out at the sentence. Our inspectors need counseling after attending the scene. It's a shocking and absurd that the accused got away with an R1-500 fine, she said. And so this puts a little bit of twist on stories we've brought to you in the past where maybe a neighbor who owns chickens has shot or killed other neighbors' dogs for coming on their land and killing their chickens. Here's a gentleman that actually shot his or hung and killed his own dogs for killing his own chickens. So a little bit different twist there for the story, And, you know, some of the comments on this one you can see on our Facebook page was, you know, I wonder what he was doing to begin with. Again, irresponsible dog odor, I can say that as well here in this story, is that I wonder what he was doing to protect his chickens from his dogs. Did he have the proper fencing, and did he have the proper coop and the proper run? And maybe his dogs needed to be...
train dogs not to maul and go after chickens.
Exactly.
Sorry.
I agree.
That's a disturbing story, really.
I understand.
I feel bad with that story. Mm-hmm. He could have taken him to the SPCA or found other homes or whatever, but he's probably really furious. I know I've gotten really mad at my dogs sometimes, but that's to hang them is a little much.
Right. There's a story I'm not going to get in. I'm not going to read. It's fairly lengthy, but I'm sure a lot of the young ladies that listen to the show. It's called Chicken a la Queens. Chicken a la Queens. Women love raising poultry for their eggs, and it's a really quite a good story. pardon me. It features a couple of different young ladies that keep backyard poultry and live on a small homestead. And this comes to us from The Scene. You can see that at our Facebook page. Very, very good article. I posted, there's a couple that are just really, really good articles that we actually posted. Let's see, getting into more casual kind of chickens in the news. If you happen to miss my live interview on Good Day Sacramento on Saturday morning, the link is posted on our Facebook page. Maybe Love for Poultry can actually post it in our chat room as well. But it was I thought it was a really fun and entertaining interview. It was about 4 minutes long. And it was live, even though I'm here in Atlanta and they were out there in Sacramento, California. They did Skype me in, and it was a live interview, and that was on Good Day Sacramento. We have the link on our Facebook page, and there it is posted in our chat room. But it was just a fun, really feel-good little interview that we did on Saturday morning. So especially if you're in the Sacramento area, I know that there's some meetings coming up regarding backyard poultry. So maybe it helped their cause a little bit out there and brought some notice to backyard poultry. There's some others you can read on our Facebook page. City cries foul over residential chickens. That comes to us from Cincinnati up there in Ohio. There's one that 67% of chicken has harmful bacteria, says study. That was done up in Canada, but there have been done studies here as well. There's a great commentary, sustainability movement sweeping the nation except in Walpond. And it's a really great article, and it's lengthy, but this person makes some really, really good points about the advantages of backyard poultry and sustainability. It's just really, really good. Another announcement here that's also on our Facebook page. Maybe we can get this link in the chat room as well, Love for Poultry. It's now time to register. Let me kind of give you the seriousness of this is that on March the 9th, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, March the 9th, it's a Wednesday, March 9th, 6:30 p.m., ManaPro is offering a free seminar. It's going to be a webinar-based webinar, and it's completely free on March 9th again at 6:30, and it's called Bringing Home New Chicks. It's completely free. Many prizes will be giving away. There's the link in the chat room. You can go ahead and register for this, and let me explain to you why it's important that if you would like to take this webinar, even if you consider yourself an expert on bringing baby chicks home or getting baby chicks, you still may want to attend this webinar because of the awesome prizes that are going to be given away to only those who attend the webinar live. For example, number one, space is limited. Okay, there are only 1,000 seats available for this live webinar. Okay, now let's do the math here. We have over 8,000 Facebook fans. We have over 2,000 Twitter followers, and we have thousands of listeners of this radio show. But only 1,000 people can register for this free webinar. You do the math, okay? Time is of the essence. Once it's full, it is full, and it will not let you register any longer once we have the 1,000 participants for this webinar. There's going to be some awesome prizes giving away. I'm sure there'll be lots of ManaPro goodies and lots of feed and great things like that given away. But one person attending this webinar live, you can't just register and not show up or forget about it. You have to be in there live during the webinar. one person is going to win an awesome custom-built chicken coop from Horizon Structures, valued at about $1,595, and it may be more depending on where you live, based on shipping cost. If you live on the eastern side of the United States or the western side of the United States, I believe it's, from what I saw on the Horizon Structures website, $1,595 on the East Coast, maybe $18 or $19.95. So we're looking at mega bucks of a chicken coop. They're 5x6 chicken coop. It is the bomb. And so one person live that evening in that webinar is going to win that awesome coupe, plus all these other great prizes we'll have to give away from ManaPro. So it's so everybody there will have a 1 in 1,000 chance of winning. I don't know what other kind of chances are any better than that. But so that the time is of the essence. If you're participant 1,001, you're out. Sorry. Sucks for you. So that's why I'm stressing this. Also, my listeners on the radio show, my fans on Facebook, followers on Twitter, y'all have an extra, I don't know, week to sign up. They're not even, as far as I know, announcing it yet. The ManaPro website, they haven't done any kind of press release on this yet. But so all of our fans, Chicken Whisperer, great fans, are actually going to have an update. I mean, they have to have the chance to register before anybody else. So happy Valentine's Day for you for that. So definitely register for that. Again, you may know an awful lot about bringing baby chicks home, brooders and things like that, getting them set up, but attend and you could have a chance to, win an awesome chicken coop and other great prizes as well. So wanted to share that with everybody while we're covering chickens in the news. And then we have so many things. Really, really quick. I know we're kind of running down there. I just want to let everybody know that we're going to be in North Carolina at the Mountain Valley Country Store in Hayesville, North Carolina, Saturday, March 5th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mark your calendars if you're anywhere near that area of North Carolina. North Carolina, Mountain Valley Country Store in Hayesville, North Carolina, Saturday, March 5th from 9 to 2. We'll be there. Come on by. We're going to be in Virginia, a Virginia event. We'll be at the Augusta Co-op in Staunton, Virginia, on Saturday, April 30th from 9 until 2. Again, at both those locations, we'll be broadcasting the radio show live and then having a poultry workshop. We've got that. Coming up this Saturday, the Georgia event will be at the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Association in Noonan, Georgia, and we've got that event that we're doing as well. Wanted to share all of that with you. And then let me scroll up here a little bit further. And I think that's probably on my end all chickens in the news, other than our very important announcement. Pat, do you have any chickens in the news to share with us today?
Well, I do have one, and it kind of matches with one of the other earlier stories. This one came across, it's got a little bit of a different twist to it because it's got some interesting numbers. It's written by Ron Wiebe, W-I-E-B-E, and it's called Antibiotic Resistant Bacteria in Poultry, and we've known about this for a long time, but what's interesting is this, is the superbugs or the antibiotic-resistant bacteria are a frightening endangerment to human health, and antibiotic use in animal feed has been linked to the problem, and here's how they linked it to the problem. What they found is it's one of the most growing concerns all over the world. It's not just the U.S. It's global. And it's combined with the overprescription of antibiotics in humans, which, you know, as a pharmacist, I've been sort of gnawing my teeth over for so many years. Well, because it's not only these antibiotics aren't only given to humans in overdose and inappropriate doses that have resulted in new strains, it's also because the animal husbandry has then linked the evolution of these superbugs. But this report says from CBC, announces that they've found that the contamination of supermarket poultry with antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So now here it's coming straight on through to the food that we eat. It says all of the bacteria uncovered during the marketplace sampling were resistant to at least one antibiotic that human uses, and some of the bacteria were resistant to 6, 7, and even 8 different types of antibiotics. And as disturbing as this may sound, the existence of bacteria on meat or food, any food product, is it's expected now that they're going to be antibiotic resistant. So now what's interesting is this also goes into the, it's a short article, but it's really well written. In 2010, the Vancouver Sun reported that in Canada, their researchers found a significant correlation between antibiotic-resistant Salmonella Heidelberg found on chicken and the same resistant strain that infects humans. So now here's the trans-species and multi-species infection that is coming to the forefront. And what they showed is that when the poultry producers temporarily stopped using one of the antibiotics, in this case it was ceftiofur, C-E-F-T-I-O-F-U-R, ceftiofur, the cases of human infection decreased but then rose again when the antibiotic was reintroduced. So this is for the first time that I know of showing that, yes, we can manipulate or change the amount of resistance by not including it in the pet feed, and it directly relates it to us humans getting injected, getting the resistance to it. Now, there's one more interesting thing to this whisper that is pretty profound, is that antibiotic resistant strains are found in all poultry. Antibiotic resistant strains are found in all poultry. It says the use of antibiotics has been banned in Europe and Australia for quite a long time, and they have both regions have now shown benefits and the disadvantages of restricting the drug supplemented feed. The United States was also prepared to do the ban, but of course, as we know, it just didn't happen. So what they're doing now is the University of Georgia, the College of Veterinary Medicine, is comparing antibiotic-free farm-raised chickens to those raised with regulated laboratory in environment, and they're finding that both groups, the antibiotic-free one along with the ones that had the antibiotics, were found to have high levels of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So unfortunately, this research suggests that such a ban on antibiotics is basically too late. So all that is to say, but I don't think it's ever really too late. And of course, evolution never stops. The bacteria are going to keep evolving. People are evolving, whether we know it or not. And certainly immune systems are evolving. So this whole thing about, you know, these chemicals that are being put into feed, like the arsenic that we found and the mercury and now the antibiotics, it's just time that we all be really aware of what's going on and then make our choices as consumers as to what we're going to support. So that's my 2 cents worth today.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Pat, I'm going to, well, just stay with us. When we go to our next commercial break here in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to have you hang up and call back in. I've got really horrible distortion. No one else in the chat room or out there listening live has it, but I do. So, and it was driving me a little nuts. So I'm going to have you actually call back in. Not yet, but when we actually go to commercial, I'll have you call back in, and maybe a different line or a different connection will help on the distortion that I'm getting, because I hear about every other word. So not yet, but when we go to commercial break, we'll have you do that, and I'll bring you back on for that. Hang on 1 second. Let me move that little message over here. Let me get back over to my switchboard. And then now it's actually time. I'm going to bring on a great friend and my partner here in this endeavor that where it's going to be, I think, the first of its kind ever on the planet. And it's going to be, we really think, a very awesome and successful product and project for years to come. And I'm going to bring on the phone right now my good buddy and a future poultry scientist himself, Brighton Duncan. Hey, Brighton, how you doing today, my buddy?
Hey!
How are you doing?
Good.
Awesome. Thank you very much for calling in today and sharing in this great announcement. And let me just kind of get people kind of started on some history here. Actually, it was about a year ago when your mom and your dad and Jen and I met. It was they had joined the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group, and they were attending the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Association Poultry Show last year at this time. And we all met, the whole group of us, at I think it was a Golden Corral or Orion's, and we met and we had dinner.
Well, actually, it was Chili's.
Well, not then. I'm talking about like a year ago, back when we first met. Well, not when we were talking about this project, but yeah, like a year ago when we very first met you ever in our lives. So that's kind of how our relationship got started, and we became really good friends. And so and then we started kind of hanging out, and y'all came down to the meetings a lot more. And so, but yes, as far as this project is concerned. Several months ago, probably about 6, 7, 8 months ago, after a Atlanta backyard poultry meetup group, we did leave the meeting and we headed over to a Chili's by North Point Mall. And we were all sitting there and we were having a great time, laughing, carrying on, talking about backyard poultry and all the things that are out there and different things that, you know, we could come up with. And we were writing down things on a napkin and different types of Chicken Whisperer gear and Chicken Whisperer playing cards and trivets. And we were just going crazy with all kinds of ideas for chicken trivia games. And, you know, we could have a game like the Game of Life, but it'd be chicken related. And you draw a card from the board and it'd say, oh no, coccidiosis, go back 3 spaces. And you know, just having some fun with all these different things regarding the booming movement of backyard poultry. And one of the things that, that was brought up was collector cards, and not necessarily trading cards, but more of a collector card series. And so Brighton and his mom and his dad and his sister Laura and Jen and I have been really working on this for about 8, maybe 9 months now. And it actually now has come into play. Where we've got the financial backing of 3 great sponsors for this series. We've already got kind of the templates done. They're going to be going to printing here probably in the next 2 weeks. And then we hope that probably early April, preferably before mid-April, but we're hoping the sooner the better. It could be late March. It could be early April that Brighton and Laura and Christine and Fritz and myself and Jen will be launching Chicken Whisperer collector cards. And what these are going to do is that they'll be really geared to the youth like Brighton and Laura, who participate in 4-H, FFA, ABA, APA youth program, really the whole 9 yards. And we hope to get these, of course, on our website. We hope that a lot of our sponsors will be carrying these cards. I have yet to make the call. We have a good relationship with Tractor Supply. And so once we call them and they get a sample of these collector card decks, that they'll be one of putting them in their Tractor Supply stores all over the country. But let me tell you a little bit about what they are. Is they're going to be kind of like baseball cards, right, Brighton?
Yep. And the one that came up with them is me.
Exactly. How awesome is that? And so they're going to be kind of like baseball cards. And on the front, it's going to have a picture of the chickens. And we're going to have for in a deck, for example, there's going to be 15 cards. And picture your deck of baseball cards that you can buy, or collector cards. We've seen a lot in the stores as we were researching this. And so on the front will be a picture of a, guess what, a chicken. And so 15 cards per deck. This first release is going to have 5 large fowl breeds, 5 bantam breeds. It'll have 2 educational cards. One, for example, I think this first deck will be coccidiosis. The other will be maybe a tip card, a tip about showing poultry at the shows across the country. And then there will be 3 sponsor cards in there. We wanted to limit that to 3, but we did want to put some sponsors in there for an opportunity. So we've got USDA APHIS. We'll have an educational card on there about keeping the flocks healthy, where there'll be an advertising card in there from eggcartons.com, and there'll be an advertiser card in there from Ideal Poultry in Cameron, Texas. So we want to thank them very much for coming on board with this project. And they're going to be, probably distributed nationwide, 15 cards. We hope to have 2 releases each year, a spring release Series 1. We hope to have another release this fall, if all is well, and they become successful. And then we'll have Series 2. They won't be based really on year, but more of a series. Series 1, Series 2, Series 3, Series 4, and however long it takes to cover all of the breeds that are out there and the different variations of the breeds. And so, yes, there will be some trading going on. Brighton may be like, you know, I'll trade you my Bard Rock for your Rhode Island Red, and that's fine.
And yeah, that's, I will.
And what was that, Brighton?
I said, yeah, I will.
Exactly. So there may be some trading going on, but we're trying to really focus on the collector cards versus trading cards, even though we know some of the kids will be trading them based on what breeds they like and maybe some breeds they're not too fond of. But on the back of every card, on the front, there'll be a picture of the chicken, and on the back, there's going to be all kinds of information about that chicken, the year it was developed, where it was developed, average size this, average size that, color of the egg it lays, a little bit of tidbit of information about it, fun facts about that breed. So we're really excited to try to launch this. You'll probably start seeing them advertised in Poultry Press, Backyard Poultry Magazine, and some other places, as well as on this radio show, and possibly even some of the retail stores out there. And specifically, hopefully, some of our sponsors will carry them who have catalogs. They'll end up in the catalog for next year. So definitely looking. Yep. So we're hoping. We definitely keep you posted in the chat room. Someone is like, let us know when they're up and going. We will. We're hoping to get everything to the printers. It's not going to take long to print them. We're going to do 2,500 decks to get started, and then we'll see how fast we run through those, and then we can just continually print them as a supply and demand. But we're hoping that'll be a very successful project for us, and again, geared towards 4-H, FFA, ABA, APA youth program, the youth poultry clubs around the country, and we hope that they'll enjoy the new poultry collector card. So very, very cool, fun story. It's been a lot of hard work. We've been working on that collectively for about, 8 months now, I guess, and it's finally come all together. So we're really hoping that you'll be able to get your deck. I think they're saying how much per deck. We're still working that out. Again, everything new, just like a calculator way back when was $500, and now you can get a calculator for $1 at the dollar store. So we'll experience this as we go on and more decks are printed and the price come down and things. But we're looking at and we even compared with baseball card prices, collector card prices, transformer trading cards in the big box stores and football trading cards, and compared apples to apples based on how many cards you get per case. These aren't going to be in a little foil package either that you rip open and throw away. Every deck is going to come in a nice plastic case. To keep these collector cards. So it won't be just a foil wrapper that you open up. It will be a hard, clear plastic case, collector case that these will come in. So right now the numbers we're throwing around is $5 for this, which kind of comes right in there with a lot of the trading cards that you'll see at, say, Walmart and Target and the drugstore and the convenience stores and things like that. So that's right now what we're looking for. Nope, there won't be any sticks of gum in these cards. They do have that. They do have that, but that option. But we refrain from that because again, to keep the cost down low. But so we're really proud to launch this. Looking forward to it, and it's something that Brighton's been excited for a very long time, and we're finally going to be able to make that happen. So very, very cool, Brighton. I'm excited, and maybe when we tour together and we go to these poultry shows around together that we attend, like this one coming up this weekend at the Chattahoochee Valley. Once these cards are out, you never know. You and I may find ourselves at the same table autographing these cards, you think?
Maybe
so. And, of course, you and your sister and some of your friends have kind of launched your own Chick Kids radio show on Blog Talk Radio. It's every Wednesday at 5 p.m. And you also do an interview, and you do chicken jokes, and you do chicken trivia and things like that. So I want to remind everybody about that with Brighton and Laura. Of course, we always say Brighton is our future poultry scientist and PhD because he is a wealth of knowledge even now about backyard poultry. And you can see the link in our chat room regarding the Chick Kids show. All righty, folks. Well, I just wanted to share that with you. First time here on Backyard Poultry. You'll see that more and more advertised in other places, but also wanted to bring on my good buddy Brighton to share that. That night was very meaningful, where we sat down and talked about, and I think the Chicken Whisperer flip-flops came up at that setting, and we actually produced some of those, and Jen and I got the prototype of those, and they ended up being just totally junk. So me and Jen wore a pair for about a week and then threw them in the garbage. So they never actually came to market, even though we had people requesting them, just because of the price point and how they were just poorly made. So we try to make sure that we get things to you that you're going to like and that are worth what you're going to pay for them. And same thing with these cards. That's why it's taken almost a year to get them into play. So making sure that it's the most bang for your buck, and we have a good audience for it. So, Brighton, thanks for joining us today, and I'll be tuning in to your show on Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. For Chick Kids. All right, my friend?
All right. Oh, all right. And maybe next year, maybe we can come up with a race car.
Maybe so. Maybe we can get a, that'd be cool, Chicken Whisperer sponsored race car. How about that? You never know. That's some big bucks, though, my friend. All righty, we're running a little over, but I wanted to get that announcement out there to you with my buddy Brighton, and he is such a hoot and very knowledgeable with backyard poultry, and he has won many, many, he has shelves and shelves and shelves of trophies and awards from showing his awesome poultry stock, and so just a good friend, and I'm proud to say he's my friend. All righty, we're going to go to a commercial break real quick, and when we come back, we'll welcome our special guest, and looking forward to it. Stay with us, folks. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this short break.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers.
Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, folks, welcome back. You're with the Chicken Whisperer Backyard Poultry and Sustainable Lifestyle Stock Show, the Chicken Whisperer. And today our special guest is Don Schreider. And Don is one of these fellows that has been raising poultry for decades. He's an expert about selecting poultry for form following function. And he was the main person behind hatching most of the Buckeye chicks, incubating and brooding the Buckeye chicks for the Buckeye Recovery Project. So, Don, are you on the line with us here?
I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you here. Am I coming through okay, Don? I'd like to have a sound check because apparently I was a little static earlier. Am I sounding better, Whisper?
You are.
Yeah,
I don't have any kind
fine.
Of... Yep, no distortion at all. I hear both of you loud and clear. Everything signals that you're both coming in loud and clear. So awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
so
Don, we're all great. Happy Valentine's Day, Don. Yes, did you give all your chickens a Valentine's Day treat?
Yeah, well, they did, but they're going to get another one here. And after I get off the show, I'm going to go down and check them again this afternoon.
Oh, great. Well, give him a kiss for me.
Unlike that, I don't kiss my poultry, but
I do. I hug
them. Happy that way.
Oh, maybe it's your mustache that tickles. That might be part of it. Well, anyway, Don is here today to talk about the Buckeye Project, and what's really unique about this, and it's, I think, an approach to breed selection that is really a good one when it comes to the endangered breeds, about using the different strains. So, Don, you just want to, and by the way, I met Don at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy annual conference, and we just chatted about so many different things. So, Don has written several articles and is one of the editors for Backyard Poultry magazine. And, gosh, he's just been one of these knowledgeable guys. So, Don, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Buckeye Project and why it's so important and how you got it started.
Well, I was working for the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy at the time, and the staff there came to me and said, well, you know, what could we do with poultry? What are some ideas of some work we could do with poultry? And ALBC at the time had a grant that was very specific to foods. It was a part of, it was RAFT, part of Renewing America's Food Traditions. And so I suggested that what we could do is we could try to take a critically rare poultry breed and see if we could use some well-documented old hands-on selection techniques to see if we couldn't improve it while at the same time maintaining enough genetic diversity that we were not just breeding, you know, the best of the best and losing all of our genetic diversity and losing mm-hmm. what the breed needed to stay alive in doing that. And so Margie Bender was there, Jeanette Behringer was there, and we ended up settling on the Buckeye Project. And so the suggestions I made, we turned more or less into a handout, which you can get on ALBC's educational resource page on their website for free download, assessing chickens for productivity. But the basis of it is that, one, we wanted to grow out a number of broilers. We could grow them out in 16 or 20 weeks and be able to measure through weights and also appraisal of other characteristics using our hands to see if we're making improvements on the birds. And so that's where we started.
Okay. Okay. So then what were the measurements that you considered were the most important?
Well, because we were taking a breed that was dual purpose, the Buckeye being the most active of the American breeds, and it was meant to be a farm fowl that would produce a good roast chicken as well as laying well and finding a lot of its own food, what we wanted to do was we selected the body, so we're measuring the amount of breast meat, and that's just an appraisal based on impression. And we were measuring the heart girth. The heart girth is essentially between the chicken's armpits. It shows you how much room is in the center of the bird for lungs and heart. And we were also measuring the pelvic bones and the lateral process bones that lead up to them for capacity for egg production in the females when they got to egg production stage, but also in the males for capacity in those areas where the egg organs are located for their daughters. And so those were the primary attributes.
Yeah, and of course the Buckeye is a dual purpose breed, so it's selecting for meat production as well as egg production as they get older. Sometimes if they're just for an egg producing breed, when the hens get older, they're basically stew hens, right? So there's a little bit different criteria than selecting just for meat or just for eggs when you come to selecting the dual purpose breeds.
That's correct. I think most people, most listeners of backyard poultry are probably going to find dual purpose or egg type breeds much more useful than they are going to find animals selected strictly for meat. But the old breeds like Buckeyes certainly are just perfect for the backyard or the small farm. And so it's a shame to see them disappear when all it takes is a little bit of selecting. And our work at ALBC really proves that. Anyway,
yeah.
One of the things that we did, though, we started out, my ex-wife and I had secured four different strains of Buckeye. And what we wanted to do was breed these four different strains, intermixing them, but to be sure that every strain was reproduced, that offspring from each mating was maintained. So one of the things that we used was the law of 10. The law of 10 essentially states that 10% of the offspring of animals such as poultry that breed in large numbers are going to be a little bit superior for the traits that you're selecting for. And so what we did is instead of selecting just the 10 best out of each batch of chicks, we selected the 10% best out of each mating. And so we might go to a farm and keep the best chicken and then the third best chicken and let go of the second best because the second best was also the same mating as the first best, and the third best was a different mating and therefore was more important genetically to keep those genes alive.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. This is a principle you can use even in the Java. So you talked about an upcoming Java project, but it's also a principle Will Moreau, he has imitated the ALBC project with these Delawares, which is exactly what we hoped for. Will
mm-hmm.
very successfully selected his Delawares using the same kind of criteria, and it allows you over just a couple of generations to improve the productivity of the whole flock without having to worry about suddenly getting in a position where everything is inbred.
Yes, and that can happen sooner than you think it can happen, in a way. Yeah. So how many breeders were participating in the Buckeye recovery?
Well, the first season we had, I believe it was ten breeders participating, counting myself and Jeanette, whose husband had decided he wanted to try Buckeyes out. He's Mm-hmm. You've probably talked to Jeanette. You know that Fred is French, and as it turned out, Fred loves the flavor of Buckeyes, so that worked out beautifully. But there were eight other farms, and some of them chose to only grow out a batch of chicks, and others chose to want to continue. In fact, one of them, Ron Hodson, still has Buckeyes to this day.
Okay. And so the farms came to you, or you found them? I mean, only eight farms. That's not very many for.
The numbers that you started with.
Can you give us an idea about how many numbers were involved in this first recovery project, or how low the population genetics had gotten, the pool?
Well. Buckeyes were critically rare, so they matched the definition for that on ALBC's website as far as the total population goes. But for the first year, what we selected about, in finding farms, what we did is we wanted to have them locally nearby to the ALBC home office in Pittsboro, North Carolina, because in the first season, we wanted to be able to go out and do the hands-on selection ourselves. And part of that was also training Jeanette. Jeanette's my protege in poultry, but training her in these methods. And then also we were to take other staff members out that had no poultry experience and try to see if we could teach these people how to do it. And that was an excellent example. I remember fondly two ladies in the office that couldn't understand feeling the breast area for the amount of meat and the thickness of meat until I mentioned to them, well, just imagine it's a chicken in the grocery store and you're trying to pick the meatiest chicken in the grocery store, and a light came on in their eyes. I believe they've ever since then they've been better at selecting for breast meat than I have. So
that's a good story.
But in the second season, we were able to expand the number of farms. We hatched essentially 300 chicks the first season. In the second season, I hatched 1,200 Buckeye chicks. And we expanded the number of farms because both Jeanette and I could go out independently. We didn't have to each go to each farm, so we could cover twice the amount of farms. And we also included some people at a distance that requested to be participants. And so Jeanette was in charge of selecting and qualifying those people. Since I was providing the stock, I did not want to play a role in deciding who got them.
Okay. And then the farms that were participating, you taught them how to do their own selection, so then they would bring their best, I guess, back to a pool? Or how did you keep it perpetuating on?
Well, one of the things that I did was I used toe punching. I hope your listeners are familiar with that, but simple toe punching, punching out the webs of the toes, between toes, to match up with matings. And when a group of chicks was hatched, what I did is I made sure that each farm got an even selection of the different matings available. So, you know, if there were 10 of this mating and I was dividing it in four, then most boxes got two chicks from that mating. Two boxes got three chicks. If there were, you know, 90 chicks and every farm got 30 chicks. So essentially we divided it up so every batch of chicks was genetically diverse, had chicks from every mating in it. And then the many of the farms thereafter that wanted to continue and wanted to breed their own, we would simply make sure that they had the various different chicks from the various different matings represented in their breeders.
Did you arrange for swapping between and among the participating breeders?
We did actually host a couple of chicken clinics. And in some cases, these were open to everyone, and in some cases, they were for Buckeye participants only. And we used these to get people to recognize that they were close to each other, and so that they could have someone to as a resource to swap stock with. Essentially, if you're going to try to breed something for a long period of time and you can only have one flock of chickens, the male or the males are going to represent half of that flock genetically, and very quickly you can be inbred. But if you've got somebody else that you can swap males with, or better yet, there's a group of three or more of you that each have a little flock, and I give my roosters to Pat, and Pat gives hers to Andy, and Andy gives his to me. That way we just keep rotating in a spiral, or that is, we keep each year I give you roosters and you give Andy roosters, et cetera. And that way we each get fresh roosters that are not closely related to our hens. They're the same bloodline, essentially. Our little spiral, after a few years, we could call a bloodline or a group of breeding birds, but we're each managing our own little flocks.
Interesting. Okay. Well, now, does the club, I know there are two Buckeye clubs, I think, in the U.S. Do they kind of organize or track or do anything that's structured with the swaps and the genetics?
It's interesting. In the Buckeyes, as those clubs were formed, it became very clear that at least half or more of the people that were involved in them didn't want to show their Buckeyes. They just wanted to have a base where people could find out about each other, you know, other breeders could find out about each other and where they could share information. And that, it's as people got involved and found out all the wonderful qualities of the Buckeyes, not the least of which one of the people I got birds from originally, he's now passed away, but Dennis Pierce on the West Coast was the supplier of one of the four Buckeye groups that I started with. And Dennis is common. He had brown Leghorns as well, like I'm known for breeding. But Dennis said he could raise Buckeyes and brown Leghorns in the same pen. The Buckeyes would come to the front when he shows up, and the brown Leghorns would go to the back. And it's true. The Buckeyes will follow you around the yard if you give them the chance. And they're very, very friendly and very curious. And so people have just really latched onto those personalities that the breed seems to carry and just really enjoy it.
Yeah, I've had about four Buckeyes, and they're not only personalities, they're strong personalities. Like you say, they're not shy. And one of them, my little Buckette, she's Buckette the Buckeye. I mean, she's almost like a dog. She'll follow around or come up and make her needs known, and then she goes off and does her own thing. She's very independent and yet very, very personable. So much more than some of the other chickens that I've got. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're very active. I remember fondly one day I let my hens out into the yard when I was living in North Carolina, and immediately one of them ran almost about a little over a tenth of a mile down the property all the way down to this stream. I don't know what she knew was down there, but she had to get there immediately, and I remember fondly being on one egg-producing farm that did nothing but pastured poultry, and as we finished weighing the appraising and weighing the young Buckeyes, we turned them loose individually, and then we stood up after the last one, and the owner was was saying, yeah, he's never seen chickens range like this, and I stand up and look around, and the Buckeyes are at least a football field further out than any of the other chickens.
Yeah, for better for worse. I found that they're pretty alert too. I mean, they do range. I mean, the Buckeyes were, I think, do have a strength that way. But also the rooster that I had was very protective, and alert. I mean, it wasn't just sort of gaga and along. He always kept an eye out for the fox or whatever it would be, and would send the alarm up. So I found them very protective that way.
Yeah. But it's been surprising to me, too. I've known people, when we get into poultry, we try out a breed and we like it, and then maybe we have it for a year or so and we decide we want something else, or maybe we're trying three or four breeds out at once and before we know which one is right for us. And but with the Buckeye Project, so many of the people that started out early on are still with the breed. It's just been fascinating to me. That so many people really like it.
Yeah, well, they're large, they're easy keepers, and they're good foragers. And about how many eggs a year can a dual purpose breed like a Buckeye lay?
Well, in all practicality, and you're probably keeping different age groups instead of just for the prime season.
Right.
You could expect 150, maybe 125, say, to 200 eggs per year with some variation. One of the things that will hold a Buckeye back in egg production is, of course, if you get them overly fat. The other is if when they go broody, and Buckeye hens do tend to like to go broody, at least my experience of them. And when they go broody, they're very polite about it. Leghorn hens will rip your hands off when they're broody. They're quite vicious. Buckeye hens just hunker down and just try to be pitiful so you won't pick them up off the desk.
That's a big hunker, too. I mean, they're good-sized birds. So, yeah. Well, now, are there... I understand that there are classes on how to select for function in birds that you have not only given. I was so impressed with your workshop at the ALBC annual conference, but I understand there's going to be a series of classes that will be taught across the country for breeders.
Yeah, I speak around a bit. In fact, the beginning of March, when you're all in North Carolina at that little store, I'll be down in Asheville, North Carolina, with the Organic Growers School, teaching some classes on poultry, selecting for body type and how to cull your flock. In fact, on the Friday, there's supposed to be a half-day workshop on a small farm, which ought to be fun. And then there'll be some others. I know Jim Adkins you've got on Wednesday, and Jim and I have talked quite a bit. And Jim's got a few classes lined up in different parts of the country this year as well. So there's a lot of interest out there in trying to figure it out.
Yes, absolutely. And then you were telling us, too, you're telling me about how I think it was in the early 1900s, they sent a team across on a train to teach farmers how to select for production.
That's correct. This was back around 1900, 1910. There were actually schools of poultry that would come in, and they would, it was through our USDA, actually, or its precursors. But anyway, essentially what they did is they'd come through a town, they'd come on a train, they'd often have a whole car that was the poultry school's car. It would have a display set up and sometimes live chickens. But they would look for people in the town to host a clinic, and they'd go through and they would teach you selection techniques. And the selection techniques that we know of come from a fellow called Walter Hogan, who was an interesting guy. He was actually a manufacturer of textile machines, and a lot of woolen cloths and such. And he was used to feeling the cloths for thickness and appraising it for evenness. And he started about 1873, started forming his own ideas about productivity in chickens because he found great differences. I mean, back at that time, the national average of egg production was about 70 eggs per year.
Really?
Per hen. And,
wow,
yeah.
That's so low compared to the commercial breeds now and even what you're doing with the... Yeah, but go ahead. So 70 eggs per year, and
yeah.
Then what happened?
And so he noticed the qualities of the hen's skin changed when she was in egg production, and then he started to notice the structure in the back of the body where the egg organs were, and differences in there. And Walter's work by by 1910, many of the colleges were starting to put this into play. And by 1914, Walter's complete book, The Call of the Hen, which is fabulous. If you get a copy on eBay, grab it. Anyway,
I've got one right
written
in front of me, I'm pleased to say, because when Jeanette was talking about it. Yes, it is. I'm amazed it's not reprinted.
Everything that we know about production judging in poultry really got its start, we found out about it through Walter Hogan. There's some indication that maybe the French had some of these ideas even earlier, but nothing I can document besides their selection processes. That is, they selected hard for eggs and meat qualities. But Walter Hogan is the man we know that got credit for doing all this, and well-deserved. But one of the things, like, I often ask people, do you know how to tell if your hens are fat or not? And, you know, on most four-footed species, the fat grows up on either side of the spine. You put your hand on the back, and if there's a dip where the spine should be, the fat's taller than it. And that's so that means they're fat, right? Or if they're really bony there, they're very thin. But on a chicken, the backs are pretty flat, and you can hardly feel any fat at all in across there because the spine is fused with the backbones. So how do you tell? Well, you reach around to the two pelvic bones. On the back of the chicken, there will be three bony protuberances, two at the top, side by side. Those are the pelvic bones. They're right, very near the vent. Then one in the bottom, that's the tip of the keel bone, or that is what the breast is attached to, the bottom of the chicken. Think of a chicken as like a boat. So the keel bone is the keel or the bottom of the ship. It's also the bottom of the chicken. And the two pelvic bones stick back, and they're similar in thickness kind of to your finger, your pointer finger, but essentially when you squeeze them, if you feel an eighth of an inch, a quarter of an inch, your chicken's in pretty good egg-laying condition. When you start feeling half, three-quarters, or an inch on any individual, either of the individual pelvic bones, that's all fat and gristle and tough skin combining to make it feel so fat. And you can tell that you've been feeding them way too much corn, and that's why you're not getting any eggs.
Oh, now I'm going to go out and start feeling all my hens, you know, the poor things. we're just about ready for trivia time here, and that's been really interesting. Andy, do you have any questions for Don before we head over to trivia?
No, but lots of great information, very entertaining, and of course it pertains to me because we're in the midst of picking out a dual-purpose breed for our meat birds that we're going to start here this summer, and it's we don't want to go with the typical Cornish cross or anything. We do want a kind of a dual-purpose, and I was thinking earlier, I was kind of like, okay, dual-purpose, yes, this breed is good both for laying and butchering, if you will, but hopefully I'll be butchering them before they start laying. So I understand the meaning of dual purpose, but it's a lot of people, just to clarify, it's not like you're going to be collecting lots of eggs before you choose to, you know, go to butcher them. Otherwise, you'll be stewing them because it'll be depending on how long you want to keep them. So just to clarify, because a lot of times, oh, they're a dual purpose bird. So you can collect eggs and then for a long time, and then, you know, and then of course process them, but they're good for both. So we hope to, and that's what we've been telling folks, 16 to 20 weeks, from butcher time roughly versus maybe the 6 or 8 weeks with some of the other specific birds like a Cornish cross or something like that. So definitely been paying attention and following this about that breed because that may be one that we're looking at having. I know that all of our layers we're going to have probably ISA Browns, but with our meat birds that we have about 25 of those ever so often throughout the year. The Buckeye may be something that we're going to look at. So thank you very much for being on. Very interesting information. We hope to have you back on very soon.
All right. My pleasure.
Okay. Thank you, Don. We've been talking with Don Schreider. He's the poultry breeder, teacher, and a writer, and he was a key person in the Buckeye Recovery Project, and he's certainly an expert on how to breed, how to select breeding stock for production. So thank you so much, Don. Okay, Whisper, it's trivia time.
Yes, it is trivia time, and I've got a humdinger of a question for everybody today. Let me get over here to the switchboard and get everything kind of situated for our chicken trivia today. Being Monday, even though it's Valentine's Day, our chicken trivia contest is, of course, brought to you by Crazy K Farm, the makers of the Hen Saver, Hen Apron, and many other great products. And one lucky listener today, the right caller with the right answer, is going to win a Hen Saver, Hen Apron from Crazy K Farm. Visit them online. You can go to hensaver.com or crazykfarm.com. Either one will take you there. You can see all of their great products, and we hope you'll do that today. But one lucky listener will be walking away with a Hen Saver, Hen Apron if they know the answer and they're the correct caller to the following question. 347-637-3237 is the number to call if you know the answer to the following question. That's 347-637-3237. And the question today is, the Buckeye is the only breed that we know of that was truly developed by a woman. We know that. What was that woman's name? That's what we want to know. The Buckeye is the only breed that we know of that was fully developed by a woman.
What was that woman's name? We're going to take caller number 6, 347-637-3237. Caller number 6, 347-637-3237. What is the name of the woman who developed the Buckeye? That's what we're looking for. How about that one, Pat?
That's a good one. I love this question. And you can imagine, I mean, this was done back in the early 1900s. What she must have been as a woman in the breeding of poultry. She had to be quite a poultry pioneer on the feminine side. So, yeah, she's certainly an icon in the American poultry circles. So that's a good question. I like that one.
And then after the show, I want everybody who's listening within the distance of our voice to go outside and give your chickens some lovin'.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Give them a few treats from what you had for lunch today. Maybe give them just a little bit of scratch. I'm not a big advocate of scratch, but give them a little bit of scratch. And remember to check them over for mites and lice and any type of injuries and bumblefoot and all that kind of good. Go outside and spend some time with your chickens. They deserve it, don't you think? All right.
Chicken quality time, absolutely.
Exactly. And before we wrap up, because we're running out of time, but I want to make sure we get our winner on. Again, I just want to say from Pat and myself, we thank you very much for tuning into the radio show today, both in the chat room, the archive shows that people listen, and then live. We thank you very much. Y'all are basically Valentines to us for tuning in. We've made some great friendships with this radio show throughout the years that we've been on, and thank you very much. And take time today to remember. We should do it every day, but today especially, take time to remember your special Valentine, whether it be your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be. Do something a little special. Don't have to spend a lot of money. I can guarantee you that right now. Just a little time cuddling, watching a movie will be ample. But do take some time to let your loved one know what they mean to you and how you feel about them, because you never know what might happen, that's for sure. All righty, let's go. We said, I believe we said caller number 6, didn't we? Let me get over here to the phone lines. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, Mouse, stop giving me a hard time. Okay, here we go. Well, let me get my switchboard working here. Come on, Mouse. There we go. All righty. Caller number 6. You are live with Andy and Pat calling in from area code 330-330. If you'll state your name, tell us where you're calling from, please.
This is Kara from Ohio.
Hi.
Hey, Kara.
From Ohio.
From Ohio. How appropriate is that for the Buckeyes?
No kidding. All righty. I'm going to repeat the question real quick. We know that the Buckeye was the only breed developed by a woman. What was that woman's name?
Nettie Metcalf.
That is correct. That's the information that I have here. And perfect.
Of Warren, Ohio, as I recall. Wasn't she in Warren, Ohio? It's right there.
Good deal. Perfect. Well, thank you very much for playing. Thank you very much. Congratulations. You've won a Hen Saver hen apron from Crazy K Farm. Visit them online, hensaver.com. And all you have to do is send me over your email with your shipping address. I can get that over to Toby at hensaver.com, Crazy K Farm. Just send it to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. If you can do that as soon as possible, that'll help me get that over to her, and that'll mean you can get your Hen Saver hen apron as soon as possible. So, folks, that's going to wrap up another show of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer here on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you very much for listening today. I want to make sure you tune in tomorrow. We'll welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, Jeanette Barringer. And a great topic for tomorrow. We've got Wednesday, Jim Atkins talking about the sustainability and backyard poultry. Thursday, we've got Poultry Today with Dr. McCray and another awesome fun Friday. We'll be giving away more great prizes. And, of course, a special Saturday show this Saturday from the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Show in Noonan, Georgia. We'll have another great prize tomorrow from eggcartons.com. So you want to tune in. Because do you feel lucky? We've given away more chicken coops and more chicken prizes than anybody on the planet right here on Backyard Poultry, thanks to our sponsors. Pat, take it away.
Okay. Well, today we've been talking with Don Schreider. He's a poultry breeder, certainly a teacher, and a wonderful writer. And he was telling us about the Buckeye Recovery Project and how to select breeding stock for productions. Of course, Andy Schneider, you valentined you. Thanks for bringing us all together. Because if it weren't for you, we certainly would not be here. Okay. Our hearts go out to you, Andy, and our appreciation. Our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along. We love you so much. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. Blessings to all. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. We want you all to be our Valentines. And may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Oh.